Okay, Ling Seng, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, and thank you to Bill, and good morning to everybody, and good evening or good afternoon to all of you that we are different time zone right now. It's a great honor to share you with the philosophy on engaging a community in the development. This is the case study. I just share the experience. It's not a theory call from the book, anyone. It is a jump I collect from my implementation in the organizations. So in this, I will discuss with the 5 points, my topic for the whole presentation, just a short, and I prefer to have more questions than doing presentation because this is not theoretical. Then I'm talking about the finding. Number one is the community assessment survey and or research in order that we can engage the community to help you with your project. So that number one is requires to do the community assessments. And number two, I will talk about SWOT analysis, that why we do it. And number three, talking about input from the key stakeholder for local funding, because it is a very important part in the project development. Without the community, and then the project will not be sustainable and will be failed. And number four, I'm talking about the design a simple tool for further communication. That is a part that you link with the your community, your people. So not just only by the organization, it should having more around people, especially your partner, to get involved with your project. And then you have a platform to communicate each other and update the progress. And the last one is talking about community reflection and planning. So over here, I do believe that everybody do it and to reflect your achievement. But the way that everybody do might be different from one organization to another. So number one, we talk about the community assessment. In order to work sustainable and participation and doing something that requires to do the community assessment or survey, that it would say that it's a technique to identify the issue or challenge of the community. It's not a dreaming project. So if you do a project that is not dreaming, that will be going to be sustainable. But if without the community assessment, you can't find out the what is the problem, what are the challenge, what is the issue of the community. So here is very important that you need to do. So the way that you can do it's either qualitative or quantitative if you're talking about the research. And we can define with the how to do with the assessment by having workshop with the key stakeholder or the important people in the village or in your community, so that you need to gathering them into a groups or somewhere that you are comfortable with, and then you start to develop a questionnaire to collect the information as you need. And either right now, I do see that the tips that you can do with them, you can do a survey by going out with the Google platform, the Google form. And I see that the government, they use the Telegram. So that you try to engage with them, and then you can send the questionnaires to them, and then they can fill it for you. And you can follow up with them to send the information. If the the pandemic of COVID-19, you can't go out to meet them. So it is very important to do. And it also that when you do the community assessment, also you can define the need of the community. And then when you design the project, you develop the project for your development, follow the result that you find out, the key finding from your survey, key finding from your assessment. And the last one that you need to engage them in project design and project management. So when you start to design the project without their involvement, it's hard, you know, like you bring something new to them. But if you hold their hand together with you, and then they know that, oh, that the part of the project is part of their contribution into it. So here that the three main thing that I mentioned about the community assessment. Number one, I would say that it's a technique to find out your the challenge or the issue of the community, or you can find the other key finding that you don't know. So you use this one. And when you start to design the project, don't take the other. For example, like some people, they start to think about, oh, outside country, outside Cambodia, they do this, they do that. But you sometimes, it's not reflects to your community, but you can read that for a theory, read it for information. And then how can you link with the most need? Because when you do the research, when you got some information from the best practice, for example, best practice in Myanmar, best practice in Thailand, the way of lifestyle, the way of living is different, but you can see some best approach from them when you design the project. So here is part of the community assessment, but don't forget when you do it, must engage them in the project design. And number two is, I think that this common tool that everybody know it, it is the SWOT analysis. And what is the difference between the SWOT analysis and the community assessment? So here that, you know, when you can define more, you can define more about their strength to see out what are the strengths that they have. In order that when you start to do fundraising and you know them, what are the strengths do they have in their community? For example, like team management, they have a good team management and the workflow, and to see out their the weakness and see some part that you know them, that what are the areas that they need to support. Sometimes when you see when you design the project, but you can see the committee is not working, so can be considered engaged in your project design, an opportunity to see and a threat in the analysis. So I think this is, I don't want to mention more, everybody mostly use it, but I would tell that is the key finding, the result from the SWOT analysis is very important for you to make decision and what part the area that you need to improve. Because in the committee, you can, mostly I do see that some are NGO, they try to lead the project all the time. When they run the project, they operate, they implement the project in the community. So here that when you are not allow them to lead it, so you can be sustainable. So here that mostly I prefer to understand when we do the SWOT, you can analyze their institutions, their organization. For example, like if you work with the community A, community B, so to see about their SWOT, their strength, their weakness, their opportunity and the threat based on the project itself.
Leng Sing, did you need to advance your slide? We're still seeing your first slide. Do you need to be advancing them? Whoop, okay. Now we lost you. We lost your screen share.
Okay. You see this one? This is the slide number two.
Now we see it. Now we see it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And as I explained, and the third is the input from the key stakeholder in the local fundraising. Here is, you know, sometimes I do learn from Bill. Sometimes I always say that when we talk about the local funding, and then when you say funding is mostly, I think that most of Cambodian people, they're talking about money, funding. So funding is not just only money. That can be in kind, can be, you know, labor work. The way that they work with us, we also call about the local funding also. And then sometimes, you know, the contribution, I know that the government, they don't have money to contribute for that one. But you can do some project. Some of you, when you help, when you do a meeting, some of the organization pay the allowance. For example, like a diem, food, or travel. That is the part of the funding. But if you work with them, and then you can ask them that with the government to contribute for that, you don't need to pay for that. They come in because, for example, what are the projects that you do? And then the talk with their leaders. They need to send their college. For example, like in my organization, we do training. We don't pay the training fee because, you know, how many workshops that we run, the training that we do, 200, 300 workshops per year. And then if you calculate it by paying per diem, you know, for one time around $700. That is a huge amount, the big amount that you need to pay for. But when you have a support from the government, so you don't need to pay. And then we never had to invite them, just only assign the date and everybody come because we have a strong support. That is very important. I would say that input from the stakeholder analysis for local funding. You can use the government body or the structure for the workflow management. So I would say that this is, you need to understand well, you need to study about the government structure from the top to the ground. If possible, you need to study also with the strategic plan of each ministry, the project that you will do, and the government also, the strategic plan of the Royal Cambodian government, to understand that what is the trend of the government towards. So try to do the project accompanied with the strategic plan, and then see out the workflow, the structure, the government body, how the structures work. Then when you get into the structure and then you introduce your project and the project is alongside with the ministry strategy, so easy for you to work. But if you come across something outside, I tell you one organization, they work with the English also, but they fail. And everybody know it. I don't want to share the name. Most of the provincial teacher training college, they like it, the idea so much, but they went across different way, the wrong destination of the government. They design a wrong, it is exactly true, but for Western context, it's not Cambodian context. Then it's wrong with the strategic plan of the Ministry of Education. So then they failed. The government didn't take any action after they leave. So he is very important to understand. And CCDO, you know, with our English literacy program, the training program, we don't take any other coursebook outside from the government, just the government one, because we know that the government will use it for overall country. So make if the book, if the course book is not good enough, we need to improve it, give some idea for them and revise it sometime later in version 1, 2, 3 that help with them. So don't create other sources that outside, then you will fail. So here that I say that use the structure and try to empowering them to be ownership. To get honest with the project. Don't try to tell that This is the CCDO. This is the She Is a Foundation project. No, that is your project. That you need to take care of it. And we just come to support, come to help and facilitate, make it happen, make it function. So here that find a way that how can you empower them to take ownership? So it is very easy to engage them to take owner with the project. You use their project. Don't create another project for them. Use what they have and improve with that. And then another one is use their name, showing their name in the project. Hey, here is your, we are support you. And the last one, you try to play a role as a system, not a leader, not leading the project. So this is I would say that the techniques, the approach that we use with the CCDO. And next one is talking about design a simple tool, simple tool for further communications. So every project CCDO do, we create a platform for communication, update the progress. And you need to be active with that and using the, we would say that motivations. When they do it, I tell you that we do, we try to do a pilot project because school health project. And it is amazing. Sometimes the teacher inspire teachers. We train the teacher to run the workshop for the students, not the CCDO, but we train the teacher to do it. Then when we have a group, a Telegram group with them and around 20 school in the group, and then teacher school A, he or she run a workshop and then sharing the pictures into the group. And then another teacher see out that teacher A do it, and then they start to do. And then they do it round by round and sharing the pictures. So we appreciate with that. They do by themselves. We're not paying refreshment. We're not paying the per diem or anything else for the teacher. So they could do by themselves. And we just mentor them, we just help them and try to motivate during their posting. And you say, oh, okay, thank you so much. Wow, you do great job. We do believe that you are the future for your children in your community. You make your school more beautiful. Without you, your school will not having it. So that, you know, encourage people to do that. But when you do this, the tool for communications, you can monitor and evaluate the assignment that the project that you assign them to do. So you can monitor and you can see the progress of it. And the last one, I try to use the term caring and feeding, but Bill used caring and feeding donors. He not saying caring, feeding donor. I just say caring and feeding the need and request for assistance. So try paraphrase from Bill. Find out the need. Try to care. You care them and you fit their need. Sometimes when they run the workshop or they do something they can't do independently, you need to support them. And when they ask for assistance, you need to get into immediately, not just wait. So I do see email, mostly in Cambodia, they don't use email, government people, they use Telegram. So when they text you, you try to respond as soon as possible, not to keep for a day or 2 days, you know, sometimes you forget it. So I am very active with my phones and going everywhere at the nighttime, no, but the working time, very active. Send in and send out very quickly, and I assign my colleagues to respond, not to wait for a few days. Because when they send you, they need more support and they have challenge and you need to solve it. And if they have any issue that they can't do it by alone, you need to go with them, go directly to support them so that they feel, like not lonely. They feel that we go together, we holding together, we do it together. And then the image is not you, it's them. And the last one is talking about community reflections and planning. Community reflections here, some of you do it to reflect the progress, but CCDO try to design to have the quarterly reflections, not annual. When we do the quarterly reflection, we ask everybody, each school need to do present about the progress. And then right now we try to launching another project called Digital Literacy. We want to train all the teachers with basic computer that they can use administration work and office management. So here that they can do the slide presentation and sharing to us. So by quarterly, we have a channel for communication as every day and another 3 months to reflect the progress, the output. And then with that, you need to evaluate. You need to evaluate the output and the outcome. And the last one, you take the action plan, develop the plan for the next step. So I think that's all from my side right now. And if you have any question, please.
Thank you, Ling Sing. I think we can open this up for questions. If you would stop your screen sharing, then I will be able to see when people have the, thank you. Now I can see when people have their hands up. And I'll give you a couple of reactions to what you just said. I think most of you know that I'm active in Rotary, and Rotary funds some important projects around the world. And one of the things that Rotary insists on for any of their major grants is the community assessment. Rotary wants to see a community assessment before they will even consider your project proposal. And it was interesting to hear you lead with that, Ling Sing. I'm reminded of the words from Lao Tzu, an ancient Chinese philosopher, talking about doing good work. And his guideline was first, listen to the people. First, listen to the people. And I think I heard you say that as well.
Yeah. We listen to their needs. Every project we do, we not just a dreaming, not just sit down and do the literature review and then start to do it. We try to find out what is the need, listen to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I have seen other NGOs, not anyone in this group, of course, but I've seen other NGOs who, as So Paul and I will joke about it, they're a solution running around looking for a problem. I build toilets, and so I'm going to run around and just make sure everybody gets toilets, or I do this, or I do that. And I think that's all backwards, that the community knows what they need. If you take the time to ask them and listen to them. And I think I also heard you say another thing in your presentation, that one of my phrases for that is, they gotta want it more than you want it. So if your job is to improve the quality of English teaching in schools, the teachers have gotta be more hungry for that than you are. Otherwise, we're pushing Ling Sing's project rather than, as you point out, helping the English teachers get better like they want to be.
Yeah.
So who has a question for Lang Seng at this point?
No question, it's mean it's good.
Or they're bored to death.
The data for the assessment, we can collect it by secondary data also. For example, I just share, if you want to build a latrine for the school, so, you know, the school, for example, in Siem Reap, we have 510 school, the primary school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't know which school that they need the toilets. But when you know the structure, go to the ministry, the provincial education department, ask them. They have the data and send to us. So it helps you. But not make decisions after that and find out the most need and visit the school. Visit the school. It is really neat or not. Then you use your tool to evaluate. The decision is not there, you, but they give you the primary data for you to make decisions.
Yeah, we listen. If we have no questions, so Paul, were you asking a question or scratching your nose? Okay. I'll tell you a story then. And week before last, I went down to San Francisco. I sit on the board of a large nonprofit organization down there called Give to Asia. And we have quarterly board meetings. And when I'm down there, I also try to meet up with donors and just other interesting people. Well, a few months ago, I met this fellow named Hanman Liu. And turns out he's got a really interesting background. He was spent like 20 years on the Kellogg Foundation and the last 4 years as chair of the Kellogg Foundation. And now he's in the San Francisco area and he's studying community development and studying what does it take to get a community to come together and work on a project. And we were talking about that, and he's asking me some questions about what I'm doing in Cambodia, and I'm so proud of the CLLC and the work that you all are doing and the way you're beginning to help one another, that I was telling him those stories. And he said, you know, and I know you spend a lot of time focusing on sustainability. And so talk to me about sustainability. So we talked about that and how I think it's terribly important that we do whatever we can do to make the CCDO more sustainable and to make ADF more sustainable and the Global Child more sustainable and Cambu Project and every one of your organizations. And he challenged me on that. He said, no, you got to go deeper than that. If you want true sustainability, it has to show up in the communities, not in the NGOs. Otherwise, the NGO just keeps solving problems for the community and the community isn't solving their own problems. So I said, okay, let me tell you another story. This guy called Lang Seng contacted me 3 or 4 years ago that they just lost their donor for the breakfast feeding program. And Lang Seng, you know that story better than I do. But I told him the story about, no, we wouldn't just fund the program, but we would match the community's contributions to feeding their own kids. And we'd even match them 2 for 1. So if they gave a kilo of rice and that was worth 50 cents, then we'd contribute $1. And if they contributed a chicken and that was worth $5, then we would match it with $10. And it started out real small. But that's grown over the years, and you can talk about how much that's grown. But my sense is the community has really taken over that breakfast feeding program so that the CCDO doesn't have to do that now, thanks to your innovative leadership and getting the community to work on that. And so in my conversations with Hanman, he said, that's exactly right. See, that's where the sustainability needs to show up. And that's more important than sustainability in the CCDO. Also important. So for me, it's really interesting to talk to very smart, very successful people and hear their stories and just help me to think in a little larger terms. And that work that you did with the breakfast program, I thought was a key example of getting the community to support their own need. And you did that.
Bill, when you're talking about the breakfast program, I don't know, some of us here are quite new to that program. So maybe Lin Seng, could you please actually give us a little bit about your experience with that breakfast program? Of course, there are some challenges when the parents could not afford to actually contribute. So what did you do to actually help to fostering that and engage more?
Thank you. I tell you a story. I still, we have appointment the first time with Bill and Nekusa Paul to visit the breakfast program. You know the day, I tell you the truth. I missed the appointment date, the morning. Then Nekusa Paul called me, then saying, where are you? You know where I am? I'm just leaving home. And then I drive very fast to the school and I feel great myself that time. But I could manage the situation and we meet with that school and everything is okay. Then Bill come to me that time and I remember that the current donor, they stopped funding the project. And then I'm talking with Bill that time that we don't have fun and I really want to support from Bill for that one. But Bill tried to tell me about the matching funds. It hard for me that time because I don't understand that the context. We just request for funding. Normally, I do several organization. When we do the project, we need funding. When without funding, we can't do it. In my mind, in my brain. But Bill tried to engage that. You need to have the community involved in kind donation and then matching fund. And then take me for a week when I come back to work, come back to the office and I try to, how can I do it? Then I find out the solution to have the community contribution. That is strange to my colleagues too. They say, it is a new idea. They say, it's not working because the community is very poor. But I say, what can we do right now? Then we discuss about rice, chicken, and other ingredients. And then we propose the idea with the community to do the home gardening. Home gardening, the first that we initiate the community to do home gardening, and then they can sell their vegetable to the school. And then some part of contribution, and some of them, they give chicken and rice. So the first granted with Bill, and then we do that project together. And the first year, not very much success, but second year onward, because we set the strategy to the first year to have 10% contribution from the community, and then 15%, and then 30%. When we reach to the 30% from the community participation, we still see that we still ask donor money again. And then the pandemic COVID-19 come up. So that community was collapsed. will no money to contribute or any other kind because they are struggling with the food also. Then we come up after 2 years, try to discover it. After 2 years, we start the ideas to do with the Piglet project, the social enterprise. Then we run the Piglet project in order that, number one, the idea is helping the community. And number two, that they need to pay back the Piglet project, the pig, the money back to us, and then we can use that money for the breakfast program. The Piglet project work take a little bit long because we also pilot with that one, because we give the pig to the family and they raise it around a year, nine months to get a baby, and takes a little bit long. And then also disease, the pig got disease, and we study with that, and we do see that the payback 50% only. So we can't keep going with that. And we stop to give new piglets to the family, and the family need to pay back the money when they sell the pig. Then we use that money, right now we use the money again for the pig meat. The return fund from the piglet project used for the pig meat. Pig meat, it means take short, the family can loan money from us, and then they raise pig for selling meat. Take 3 months, we give them $250, they need to pay back 100%, $250 plus the interest $10 per family. So that the money that is using for the breakfast right now. And we jump up another idea. We know that during pandemic, people have no money to contribute, but we do a small micro loan with them, with the Rice It project and vegetable project. They grow vegetable and make profits, and they need to pay back interest also. I would say right now, the operation budget is $25K per year. And right now our loan, we have 25. We have 25K for that. So that our breakfast is sustained right now. We don't need any money from donors.
Ling Seng, I remember another part of that story, that you used to have a staff member that was keeping all the records and keeping track of who contributed the rice and that tell me the story. How did the community and the women in the community take that job away from you?
Okay. We discussed about sustainability and then come up with the idea that if our college is still doing the job, for example, managing cook and everything with that, we don't see any sustainability. Without CCO, it will not work. So we try to establish the community, we call community breakfast, that we have the community council, the community leaders to be as a chairman, and school principal as a vice chair, and then teachers and parents, village together with that. We said that we don't have fund to support with that, but we need your support, and you need to lead the project by yourself. The project is not belong to us right now, belong to you right now. So you need to lead. We try to facilitate funding for you. And some part design the role and responsibility of the breakfast committee. What are the role with that one? And then doing the contract, writing a paper, agreement paper with the project. So when they feel that the breakfast belongs to them, and then they start to taking care of that and manage it. So we don't just start to manage the project anymore, and they start to lead the project by themselves and until right now. So every month with the fund that we give it to them, they come and prepare all documents, all clearance documents with us. So we just take it and, review it before approval next phase, the next advanced budget for operation. So belong to them right now. But I would say that, you know, the benefit, what is the issue if they don't take lead the project? The kid will not come to their school. They know their strength. So this SWOT analysis, they know their strength. They know their weakness. If without having breakfast at the school, kid will not come to study. So then the government will complain them that they need to, they also help indicate the target number of students get into their school. So that they know their weakness. So we try to push them to take ownership. Finally, they accept with that. The first time it's a little bit hard to change people from by asking money, and then you try them to, you know, leading the project. It's a little bit hard, but don't give up. Try to do it step by step, inspire them and taking care of them that we go together. And don't forget to do the community reflection, quarterly reflection or monthly reflection, and to see the progress.
Well, I admire what you've done. I respect it greatly. And I think it's another good example of helping people help themselves.
Yeah.
And as I remember, correct me if my numbers are wrong, but 4 or 5 years ago, when we were first talking about this program, there were 800 kids in the breakfast feeding program. And that number has gone up, hasn't it?
Right now it's 1,500.
Oh my God, 1,500. I thought it was 1,200. So it's grown from 800 kids getting breakfast to 1,500, and the community has taken it over.
Yeah, we select a few more schools also to get in, so the number has risen up. And every school, they take care of it right now. So we don't get involved much with that. We just let them go and monitor with the food. Make sure the food is with the, you know, like nutrition enough.
Okay, now this is an interesting story, but if I were somebody from another city in Cambodia, maybe, and I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, Leng Sing, how in the hell can these people do this? They're poor people. They don't have any money. How could they do this?
It's a good answer. Yeah. Sorry, it's good questions. How we do it. You know, talking about what is the most need again, listen to them. The kid, normally they are quite busy. The parents quite busy. They're excited if they don't cook food for the kid, but at school feed their baby, feed their kids, so that they see that it will be easy, take some part of their responsibility. Then they just buy a small snack for themselves, parents, and then they go to work. In the morning, just get up and, you know, prepare the kid, and the kid can go to school and they eat at school. That is what is the community look like. Then when we're talking about the contribution with them, and they think of the, they always say that I don't have money. But when we have the community forums, the conference, and we talk that what normally that the kid, they need to have food, and we tell them the problem, if you don't, the kid won't eat food, what will happen? The dropout rate, they're hungry, and then what will happen with their future if they drop school early? Illiteracy problems, and, you know, a lot of things happen with that one. So take some part of their responsibility on that, and we try to do the planning of the contribution also, not just, okay, you, for example, if you ask them for $10 per year for one kid, when you select $10 per time, they might not have money to give it to you. But you set the schedule for them to pay one time to, for example, by quarterly, $2.50 they have money to pay you. So that try to, when you do that, you are, if you collect the money, I mean, if you send your staff to collect the money, you do a lot of job, because a lot of school, you assign the teachers. The responsibility belongs to the teachers at the school. Every teachers, every classroom teacher, they need to have the list. And students, some who give bi-monthly, bi-quarterly, and annual. So that the teacher has the list. And then the money, when they collect, they send directly to the breakfast committee. It's not me.
Not to CCDO.
Not to the CCDO. To the breakfast committee, they manage the funds. And then we see the result. We also already talked, like we do the global budget through Xi Jia Foundation, we tell the Xi Jia Foundation that where the money come from with the community and where the money, request the money from the foundation. And then we already calculate the amounts and the fund reached to the community with that. We just advance the money from amount the budget from the CCDO to the breakfast committee and match with the fund from the community. So here that the our lesson learned and share you, but I could tell you that the first time it's hard. I just try to mention the first time it's hard because you change, but you need to have exceptional, not just strict to the rule that everybody need to pay. Some family are very poor. So you need to do exceptions, but not saying that you plan to do exceptional for that family. Don't give like open word, open rule to that. Everybody will say that I don't have money. So you fail. You say, I take all. But when we meet case by case and then visit the family and say, okay, you are exceptional because we really see that you are very good.
Okay, this has been a successful project for you. I think probably all of us in the room today could agree that. Where else are you going to use these same ideas? How are you going to take what you learned from the breakfast program and how are you going to use it in the other community projects that you're doing?
Recently, we tried, not trying, we already used as a permanent project. We call microloan project. Our microloan project is the fund that we got, we learned from the breakfast program and used the microloan project to fund other projects. We run, the experience is running the English literacy training program that we want to empower, we want to have a equity of the English learning in the community and the city. We know the gap that in the city, the rich people, they can send the kid to study at the good school, but the community, no choice. So that we try to help it at the government school and alongside with the Ministry of Education strategy that they established English program for the grade 4, grade 5, and grade 6. So that we do see that overall country that they don't have a qualified English teacher to teach English there. And then we look at the government curriculums at the teacher training college also not good. So we see the gaps here. We try to fill in the gaps of that. We send our trainer to coach the government trainer and also train the teacher to be able and having full capacity to run with that. And then we approached to Xi Jia Foundation that we need amount of thousands to do that. But we don't use that money directly for that project. We use that money for the microloan first. During the pandemic one, the money is helping to the helping people help themselves, help the family to have food, and then they need to pay. And the payback will pay for English literacy project. So I would say that one funding can support two projects right now. So we use that strategy, the sustainability from our microloan into the edge of the program. And right now another project, we just switched on that to do the training also, that we from now onward, CCDO try to do the project with sustainability, that the government need to participate each other project that we do. For example, like if we do the English training or digital literacy, we need the money for teacher trainer only, not for the participant. So the participant payment or allowance is the government to responsible. So we use that. We use the come back again. We use the micro loan as a tool to generate fund for our program.
Well, I thank you for picking this project or this topic for tonight. So Paul and I didn't pick it. It was your idea to do this. And one of the reasons you're probably not getting a lot of questions, I'm going to guess, is that you're talking about something that 4 years ago you thought was a crazy idea, getting these poor people to help themselves. And I'm just going to encourage everyone in the room to just reflect on what Lang Seng has been talking about and just think about where might those ideas fit in some of the work that you're doing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about money. JB, I'm going to call on you here if you'll permit me to do that, because I know we've funded some significant improvements in the schools at three schools on Phnom Kulen, and the community didn't come up with any money, but they sure contributed some significant labor to the projects. And I think you got another example of some community wanting better schools and doing the best they could to help support getting those schools.
Yeah, true. The villagers are pretty poor. Some are doing better than others, but the idea of fixing or building infrastructure, just providing by, you know, giving, it doesn't seem to be the right thing to do. I think it's much better to involve as much as you can the people, because at the end of the story, we all know that it's their schools, it's their kids, and so on. So we were asking the school committees to participate by giving what they could. It could be time as labor, it could be food for cooking during the construction or the renovation of the school. It could be a material, if they have some pieces of wood here and there. We don't really encourage this since we're in a national park, but the association of the beneficiaries is crucial. Otherwise, it's two distinct things. We are doing our stuff and then they are using it, but there is no ownership. They don't take any ownership. So I think the last two big renovations we did, thanks to Southeast Asia and Anlong Thom and Tha Peng schools, they financially participate to the renovation of the school.
I think it's human nature, fundamental human nature, that people value more that which they've paid for or worked hard for, rather than something that was just handed to them.
Yeah, it's the sense of taking ownership is crucial. You take better care of it if you paid for it. If it's just a present, then you know, he can always come back and give it back to us. Actually, the school we fixed in Amontum this year, we changed the roof thanks to Southeast Asia, but 10 years ago, we built the school and we gave everything, we paid for everything. The quality of the tin sheet was not very good, so it lasted only 10 years. But my point is that the first time we didn't ask anything, we just paid for everything. Now we're just having a different approach because then they take care better of it.
And I'm just thinking out loud with you because I think that Leng Seng's experience is informative. And I think my conversation with Hanmin Liu in San Francisco and about the work that he's doing in migrant communities in the San Francisco Bay Area is informative. And it's I think 100 ideas are running around in my head. And I think that's something that over time, it would be nice to explore with this group. Little tiny example is that if we're doing another thing for another school sometime in your area, JB, and Kulin, maybe we give them the opportunity to contribute a little bit of money and match it one for one or even two for one, just to draw a little participation. The intellectual ownership they get from participating like that is probably more important than the actual amount of money we're going to get. But when they own that school, they'll probably take better care of it.
Sure.
When they have the mental ownership for it. So this whole notion of community involvement, again, Leng Seng, thanks for making that the topic here today, is one, I think we're just scratching the surface of that with our collective efforts, mine included. And I'm just thinking, why not just learn from these experiences, and he just heard two from JB and from Leng Seng. We can probably identify some others, and microloans. Tai San isn't here with us today, but Tai's been doing small microloans for several years out in his community, and that's been successful. I love the notion. I'm happy to fund microloan programs. And I've done that with other organizations in the past, and they're very, very effective, especially when you loan the money to women, not to men. I just think there's this whole thing about getting the community more involved in helping them meet what they think are the most pressing needs in their community is a real important thing for us to think about and grow with. I think it can help us be better.
I can share a little bit regarding to microloan bill, sorry. A microloan is, we are in the deal. If you run it, you know, you compete with the bank, you compete with the MFI, microfinance.
Mm-hmm.
So, people, you know, they are very clever. They also experience loans from the microfinance and they don't pay it back. But for us, you don't have any collateral when you give them money. The MFI or bank, when you give them, for example, $250, the villagers, the family need to have collateral. But we don't have any collateral.
We don't ask for collateral. You
know, we don't have collateral. We don't collect them. So the most risk, very at risk if you talk in finance field. Very high risk. But why that CCDO still succeeds on that? We define the needs. Listen to people. And then we use the government to do it, the commune leaders leading the project. It's not a CCDO. Send the list of your people who need support funding.
Well, and you're doing it with people where you've built a trusting relationship.
Yeah.
I think your payback rate, and I've never asked you this, you don't have to answer now, but I think your payback rate on those 150 rice farmer loans that you made, I think you're going to get a pretty good payback rate on that.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying to compete with the banks.
Yeah.
We're trying to use microlending as a tool to help people help themselves and build the community that they want to build. Oh, interesting possibilities. Maybe we'll have a workshop on that here one of these days when we can all get together again.
Regarding to the JB, you build a latrine. Is I think I have experience in that, and you can work with the commune people. They are responsible to contribute with funding. When we build a latrine at the school, we ask the contribution from the community $500. Every latrine that we build at the school. So that we work with the commune chief and the commune council, village chief, those people need to be responsible if they want latrine from us. And they already report that, oh, my school really need the latrine, really need something else. So that they already proposed the idea to us. So that, okay, if you want it, I have the donors, but you need the contribution for that one. So without the contribution, we can't do it. Make agreement. Recently, if you want to do it, we have MOU. They need to sign up with us if we got donors, and then they need to follow the agreement, the MOU. So that take it easy sometimes. But if you bring the project to them, no way, they won't give you. But before you do it, you have a project on hand. No, can you give me the paper? Oh, no. Recently, my college doing 10 school with the breakfast. Sorry, with the building, the, sorry, I take it out this, I show you. Sorry. No filter. This is a paper that the school requests. You see it, everyone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have the stamps here that they request the latrine. And then we try to look for donors, and the one number one is a request latrine from to us. And then we have MOU. MOU need to sign off also. They need to sign off in the back here. So that we don't have the latrine for them yet, but we will looking for the donors to have them. So the paper is already signed off, and then mention that how much money we contribute with the latrine if we have the money to build the latrine. So when we start to construct the latrine, everything is their own. It's their responsibility, even the contractor. They find out the contractor. And well, Ling Sing,
we've long since had the value within the CLLC that we all get smarter faster when we openly share information with one another. And you've done a very nice job of sharing information and giving us all some experience and some ideas to think about. And I'm going to encourage us to continue to think about how we can work more closely with our communities and help our communities meet the needs that they say are the most important. So good topic.